did probably tonight, but you told him.
We, you have scared them enough.
We ain't watching. We are all watching.
Get that set, you like it?
We all watching.
Oh, me, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. If you will, turn to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. You know, things going, the way things are going on around us and everything, I try to get away from this message, but evidently I just had to keep going back to it. But it's speaking about, and we can relate it to today, the book which was written back a long time ago, and it's just as up date as the newspaper and as the mail and the discussion that people are having today is still just as up to date today as it was back then, right at 6,000 years ago. This is the only newspaper. This is the only book that I believe that we need, we can look to where we can get God's instructions from, and not only God's instructions, but the blessings that God has for each one of us. I have no idea what kind of blessing that God has for you tonight. I have no idea what kind of blessing that God has for me tonight. But I know one thing. In staying faithful to God, He has a blessing for each one of us. He really does. But what I'm going to be speaking about, and I'm going to try to bring out some things that tonight, that the Lord's willing, that we can see some things that's happening today, where it was written back in 1898, before Christ. So we know that was 2 years before, 2,000 years before Christ. And not only that, we've had 2,000 years since Christ, 2,015 years since Christ went to Calvary, and since He died for our sins. But not only that, we see where it was a time when the Lord Jesus Christ always existed. Not did He always exist, but God had always existed. See, God, Jehovah God, it says in the very first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. God had no beginning, and God has no ending. But as far as we're concerned, we as individuals, we have all have had a beginning. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you will not have no ending. Because we're going to live on. As far as the Christian is concerned, and I don't like to use it as far as, I don't like to use the word death as far as in the realm that a whole lot of people use it in today, because of, as a Christian, we do not die. Paul said to be absent from the body, to be present with God. The only reason that we're here tonight, your body is here, your soul is here, and your soul is what's living. Because God is breathing through your nostrils into your soul to where you can go about doing what God has asked you to do. Yes, and we have people like here, they'll damn God and they'll do this and they'll say all kinds of things against God and everything. But they walking around just like me and you. Well, preacher, how can that be? You said God breathed in the nostril of man the breath of life. We have the breath of life, and we had to come to that point in time where we realized that He was giving us the daily life that we had and that we're going to have. The people I hear that's not saved, they say, and they'll talk to you, and they'll tell you, so, well, I'm breathing just like you breathing. Says, matter of fact, preacher, I can get along better than you can. I can go out here and I can work. I can go out here and dig a ditch. And maybe so. But they cannot lay their head down at night on the pillow and they can go to sleep without any cares or worries. Since I don't know why God allows things to happen to Christians, have no idea. But I think we can see it over there in chapter 22 in the book of Genesis. And it says right here, it says that it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham, and He said, behold, here I am. God did not tempt Abraham. God was testing Abraham's faith. That's the only reason I have made it thus far. In knowing that I have God the Father with me. And then I have the God the Son with me. And I have God the Holy Spirit with me. Has took up an abode within me. That lives within in me each and every moment of every day. But there are people out here today that don't have that anymore. They don't have something that they can call and they can look to that where they can say, well, you know, I can go and do this and I can do that. The only way they can do that is by the grace of God. God has provided his grace unto them. And here in verse, in chapter 19, in the very first verse it says, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my Lord, that's a little ale. And he said, this is what Lot is saying. And he said, behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he passed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where art the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed so upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. They smote the men which were at the door of the house, which with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, haste thou here any beside, son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughter and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxed greatly before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy you. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, which married his daughter, and said, up get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. And when the morning rose, then the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hands of his wife, and upon the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the place, in all the plains. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is little ones. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have escaped thee concerning this thing also, that I have not overthrown this city for the wicked, for the which thou hast spoken. Hast thee escaped thither? For I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zorah. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zorah. Then the Lord raised up Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew the cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. But Lot's wife looked back from behind him and said, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning in the place where he stood before the Lord. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word. Now, Lord, we just ask, Father, that you bring back, Father, what I studied and what I remember, and Father, what you've given me, Father, beforehand, before I even come to church tonight, Father. That, Father, that we can look upon what has happened here in the Word of God almost 4,000 years ago, Father. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'll just bless us, Father, as we're looking upon this message tonight. God, I pray for an unction from on high
God, that you may speak through me. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. I want to bring you a message tonight. That there's somebody in the Bible we need to remember. And it's over here in Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Next to the shortest verse in the Bible. The shortest verse in the Bible is where Jesus speaks and Jesus says, Jesus wept. Two words. This right here, I haven't come up with anything that's any shorter than Jesus wept. And then this verse too is the next verse that is the next one in line of being the shortest. But it's in chapter 17 and verse 32. And it says this. Remember Lot's wife. We can look at that and we can say, where it says, remember Lot's wife, we can say that we need to remember America's wife. We need to remember from times past, where in the book of Revelation, I believe is it in chapter 2? Yeah, in chapter 2 is speaking about the Philadelphia church, the brotherly love church. We've seen that. And I did not go through, I mean, as far as the work and be grown up, I did not go through all of that. But we've seen it, and we have heard about it back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s when people gathered together. And no doubt, some of you can remember, I can remember also when I went on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I went to church back then, but I could not tell you even what the Sunday school teachers was. I couldn't even tell you what the preacher's name was back then. I just went because my mother drugged me to church. She drugged me to church. She drugged me here. She drugged me there. But the thing about it is, the day people have got to the point that have been drugged around so much, all the kids have been drugged around so much, they think, well, they've been dragging me and all of this and that thing. Says, I think I'm going to just go out here and I'm going to get me some pot. I'm going to give me some cocaine. I'm going to really take the real stuff. But how many of you can go back and remember when on Sunday afternoon you would go and you'd meet at your mother's house, or you'd go meet at your grandmother's house, and you'd be there not for 15 or 20 minutes to where we can leave and then hurry on back home so we can get on the computer, or so we can get on the iPad, or so we can get on the iPhone, all of that. No, what happened? We stayed around a while. What did we do? We went outside. Went outside and we played a little games. Played horseshoes. Had a stake
over there and a stake over there, maybe 40 or 50 foot apart, and you set that through the horses to use. Hey, that was fun. And then the smaller kids that couldn't go out there and play horseshoes, couldn't have thrown them that far, they would be over there on the ground and they'd take your finger like that, a big circle. And they'd put the little marbles in the middle. And then a thing. They play marbles. How many of you have played marbles? You can't even, you know, if you say stuff like that, going playing horseshoes, what's playing horseshoes? What's playing marbles? They wouldn't even know it today. Not only that, then the small kids, after they got through that, they get through playing the marble and everything, they get together, and next thing you know, they'd be out here, going from here to there, hiding. Bang, bang, bang! Playing cowboys and Indians. It's nothing wrong with the old way. There's nothing wrong with the old way. But we don't need to take that, we don't need to take it in a way to where we use it with God's word. So, well, you know, things has changed and we can go this way now. It says on the book of Jeremiah, what did it say? The old path. We need to stick with the old path. We need to stick with what works. You know what works? Jesus is what works. You know what works? The King James Bible, it works. We don't need to go out here and get all these other newfangled things out here, because they don't work. They don't work. But we need to remember Lot's wife. Says the guidelines right here. Within the gospel. In the swiftness of his coming, Jesus uses the example of the sudden destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah as a warning for all to be ready in the last day. God is warning America. You know how God is warning America, warning America? Jesus uses the example, the sudden destruction of America, and Christians alike. In Lot's day, we understand that immorality was the rule rather than the exception, at least in Sodom. For this reason, God sent angels into Sodom to rescue Lot before destroying it with fire and brimstone. I've heard religious leaders, I've even heard people on the news, I've heard people in Washington, D.C. is talking about all the rain, the climate warming and all of that and everything, where the ice and the North Pole and everything is melting and it's going to start flooding and it's going to just completely flood the United States of America. I got news for them. They ain't gonna do it. You know what Obama said? Obama says he's more worried about the climate change
that he is ISIS. The one that's went over in Paris and killed all them people over there. The one that come to the United States and killed all the people. He is more concerned about the climate warming. The man don't even know how to get out of bed. He don't know how to get out of bed. And that's who we got as the President of the United States. But let me give you some worse news than that. He can't run again as far as running as a Democrat or something like that, like he did before. But if he could, and if he put his hat in the ring, running as a Democrat once again, guess what? He'd go right back in. You know why? Because you have too many idiots out here that will put him in there. They're idiots. I mean, I just don't understand it.
He's trying his very best to bring about a civil war. He's trying his very best to start a war between the states. Because see, if he does that, he can declare martial law. But you know something? We got at least 8 more months before he'll even do that. See, that's the reason he is bringing all the enemies that's overseas. That he's allowing them to come into the States.
Destruction is coming. But as the destruction is coming, and the United States is going to go up, but it's not going to go by no flood. It's not going to be washed away by the flood like a whole lot of people think it's going to be. It's going to burn. It's going to burn with fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone. What is that? That reminds me of a volcano. Here in the States, ones is overseas where they erupt. What comes out? When it erupts, what comes out of the middle of the volcano? It's lava. Brimstone. That's what's going to cover us, and it's going to be so widespread. So widespread. And have you ever thought about, and you can take this and you can go back and you can remember, well, maybe sometime in your lifetime that you've seen maybe your grandparents or your parents or somebody has went out there and took a field or maybe raked up leaves or something or raked up the old dead grass and the weed and stuff like that in your yard. What did it do? They didn't take it and rake it up and gather it up and put it in a bag and put it out there on the street. Or they didn't take it and put it in a bag and take it and put it in the woods and pour it in the woods. No. What did they do? They light a match. They light a match. that burn all the dead waste away. That's the reason the United States of America, that's the reason the world itself as a whole is going to burn with fire and brimstone. Why? Because see, after that happens, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be there for a while. Until he says, now y'all come on with me. You go get on your white horse. And ain't going to be no black stallions there. Ain't going to be no pintos there. It's going to all be white horses that the Christian rides. The only one's going to ride the black horse and the spotted horses is going to be the devil and the ones that defy God and all of that. They're going to ride the black horse. But the individual, the Christian, is going to be superior than they are. Superior than they are. And we're not going to be superior to the point that where we're going to look at things different than what the Scripture tells us. We're going to be superior just like God. We're going to be up there with God. We're going to be right there with God. Right now, man is lower than God. But when I get there, hallelujah, I'm going to be able to go up there and say, how you doing now, buddy? I'll tell you one thing, you've been awful good to me. Why? Because he's my papa. He's my daddy. He is all I need. He is my caretaker. He's the one who's going to take care of me. And I'll go up and I'll put my arms around him and I'll say, thank you, Papa. I love you so much. I can't hardly stand it. I've been waiting all these years. I've been waiting all these years to see you, to where I can tell you, face to face, not as Moses saw you, but as I see you. Because see, Moses, when he was up on the mountain, getting his tablets. He said he saw God there in a burning bush right before he got the tablets. He didn't see God. He saw the hinder part of God. Other words, he was looking on his backside. Because see, back then, could nobody look on the face of God? Because if they did, if they looked on his face, they'd be dead just like that. Why? Because of the Shekinah glory that God possesses. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I'm going home and it's going to be not long either. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. And you may say, what? And when I get there, praise God, I'm going to be able to run.
I won't be able to jump over a desk like that. I won't be, matter of fact, I won't be able to jump from here all the way back at the back. Why? Because I'm in there. I'm having a good time. We could have a good time here today, too. Because did you realize that we are practicing? And I know this time of year that everybody is going to start talking about, and that probably some of them has already started practicing for the Christmas play. And any cantatas and everything, they're practicing their little lines. But we should be practicing. This year, I think we had a leap. Ain't this leap year? I think it is. Huh?
16.
Is it next year? All right. 365 days this year. We should have had, if we haven't had, we should have had 365 days of nothing but rehearsing over the homecoming. And if he don't come this year, between now and the end of this year, to the end of December, then when we start out, 2016, we have 366 days ahead of us when we start January 1st of 2016. And we need to start remembering it now, that we need to start out 2016, every day that goes by, that we need to be practicing for the homecoming. Because we don't know when the homecoming is coming. It could be January the 2nd. I don't know. It could be December the 25th of this year. I don't know. Or it could be December the 30th of this year. I don't know. I do know one thing. He's coming back. He's coming back. And how many of you believe that? If you do, raise your hand. You know he's coming back. We don't know when, but praise be unto God. He's coming back. He's coming back after an old hell-bound summer that was saved by grace. And it was through faith. It wasn't by any works at all. It wasn't no works at all. It was only through faith that I took the Word of God literally and what it said. And I haven't been the same since. I don't want to go back to the old path that I was walking in. I'm enjoying what I'm walking in today. I'm having a ball. Brother Bill comes. Play once. Go ahead. One song. Maybe one verse. Nobody hadn't come after the first verse.
then we'll be dismissed by prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us tonight. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for the people. Lord, we ask, Father, that you will meet each one of our desires. Father, because your word says it, if they'll make that petition that's known, if they'll make a petition known unto you, Father, Lord Jesus, that you will not leave it undone. So, Father, help us, each one of us. Help me, Father, as I may invite people, call them, go by and visit them, Father. And Father, we can have a good day this coming Lord's Day. We can have people come in that maybe has never come before. And Father, we just want to thank you. We want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.